Blog Talk Radio.
Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Get ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Well, hi there. I'm so very glad you could join us for tonight's show on love and romance with the Reverend Barbara Gulbranson. We're really going to dive into her first book and answer a whole bunch of questions. So if you're calling in, wait till 30 minutes past the hour, so you won't be hanging on indefinitely, and we will open the phone lines then. I just wanted to remind you that point. And before we bring Barbara on, because it's going to be an absolutely fantastic show, let me just mention that next week we will be having Sandra Taylor, who will be talking about the five other universal laws that are just as important as the law of attraction. And I think you're going to find this very fascinating, because we are now ready to expand our field of knowledge to understand the validity of other laws and how they impact us while we strive to live in harmony and bliss. So this ought to be really good. One of my favorite listeners, Linda, sent me an email to let me know that she just took a seminar with Sandra in Lilydale, New York, and she absolutely thought Sandra was fantastic. So tune in next week. I know you're going to feel the same way. And I just want to say many thanks for all of you wonderful and generous listeners who participated in last night's Australian Outback Rain Meditation. I've had so many terrific emails from listeners from all over the world today who participated and said, they all said that they could feel the love being returned back to them, and it was really a great experience. So if you weren't able to listen last night, that's okay. You can still make a dramatic impact. If you can go to the my site and just download the meditation, and you can listen to it once or all the way through the week, and you will have an impact. All you will be doing, it's really a great meditation, but it's really focusing on sending love and appreciation and abundance to the outback through our collective consciousness. And you know that it's had a severe drought there, so severe that the farmers are actually having to put the sheep and the cows out of their misery by the hundreds every day to keep them from suffering from thirst. So this meditation is, again, focusing on abundance and refreshing air, rain and air and everything for the area and prosperity. And we're going to be watching the weather reports, so we'll keep you posted on the results. But for all those who did participate, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was, I felt it. It was just really terrific. And many thanks to my friend Sadie from the Down Under, who created that fun opening for the meditation. It was so cute. And I swear she sounded like she was 6 years old, but she's a lot older than that. Anyway, I was hoping to have Zaddy on tonight because she wanted to ask Barbara a whole bunch of questions about love and romance. But we are still trying to coordinate the logistics of getting her on from Australia, and there's a 16-hour time difference, so it's a bit of a challenge, but I swear next week we're going to have it all completely worked out, and Zaddy will be live on the air and talking with us from Australia. And also thanks to another very good friend of mine, Diana Howell, who has made some really, really tremendous suggestions for our next meditation. Now, this is just a reminder. If you have something that you want to put into collective consciousness, use this forum right here, this way that we can get it out and all use the same meditation at the same time. It really is powerful. It really works. So send us your suggestions. I will say that I did put in a little, maybe one or two sentences about the earthquake that just happened in Peru, but perhaps we should be doing something and sending love and a lot of nurturing to that part of the world, too. So anyway, just tune in for more wonderful meditations. I don't have to tell you that what you put out in love, you're going to get back. And when you do it on a global nature, oh my goodness, it's just wonderful. Speaking about meditations, I wanted to let you know that one of my favorite hypnosis meditation is called the Center of Creation, which I used a little bit of that when I created the Australia Rain meditation. What makes the Center of Creation so unique is that it concentrates on the place in the mind where the thought is first created, like it's first born. You know, there is this space between the pineal gland and pituitary gland, which many sages believe this to be the truth, and I believe science is proving this to be the truth right now, and it's located in the middle of your head. And originally, I took the Center of Creation script, which I got from, it's originally an East Indian meditation, and I rewrote it to include the law of attraction principles in it. The result of this meditation is so powerful that you really must monitor your thoughts from 4 to 6 hours after listening because you are still in the creation mode. It is extremely powerful. We've had tremendous results on it. So if you really, really want to be aware of the very first thoughts and surround those thoughts with a lot of love and appreciation, consider this meditation and this hypnosis CD. I actually do not recommend this CD if anybody is depressed, because you have to monitor your emotions and your thoughts for 4 to 6 hours later. If you're in a depressed mode, you might be attracting more of the lower frequency emotions back to you. So I recommend, you know, going with the depression CD for that. But if you are in a very good space, then that's the perfect time to use the Center of Creation. And again, many fantastic results because it transcends the old thought patterns and old beliefs. So, and I really have seen it work where it just jump starts the desired creations. So, anyway, that's my spiel on the Center of Creation because I absolutely adore it and I really, really think it's a fabulous recording. So if you're interested in it, go to my website. You should know the name by now, www.lawofattractiontools.com. So anyway, again, thanks for a wonderful evening with the meditation last night. Now let's go into a subject that's near and dear to our hearts. Oh my goodness, love and romance. And I know you all are out there listening and you're dying to ask some questions. So let me introduce Barbara Gulbranson, who is author of How to Attract Your Soulmate, The Secrets of Lasting Love. And this is helping people to create a healthy and loving relationship through practical spiritual principles and the law of attraction. Barbara speaks internationally and is in great demand for appearances on radio and television. Barbara is also a graduate of the Religious Science International Ministerial Program and a licensed minister with Emerson Theological Institute. Barbara, are you there?
Yes. Hi.
It's good to be here. Good evening.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Oh, good. let's just dive in here. Let's talk about the title of the book. What is a soulmate? What is the definition?
You know, a lot of people throw the phrase around soulmate, and the true definition of it is two people who have a very strong connection and a bond. It's a compelling love, but they were together before being born here on this plane of experience. They've had many lifetimes together, and you know, so then they have many lifetimes even after together. Now, there are some people out there that don't believe in reincarnation, and so the term soulmate for them might mean just a life partner who they have a good relationship with, but the technical definition is somebody who you've been through several lifetimes with together.
Huh. And it's not necessarily a romantic relationship either, is it?
Exactly. It's not. You can have a soulmate relationship, your best friend, a girlfriend, it could be a coworker, an uncle, a sister, because these are souls that you are very connected with on the other side before being born here. So it's not necessarily a romantic relationship, although that's what we're talking about tonight. It's not necessarily just limited to that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Wow, how interesting. Now for the purposes of love and romance, how can we put the law of attraction to work in finding your romantic soulmate?
Well, the technique that I use, I actually use this technique myself to find my soulmate, who I've been married to for 14 years now.
Hmm.
And I use a tool called spiritual mind treatment. And I also meditate. And these things are explained in the book. But spiritual mind treatment, it's a universal prayer that anybody could do. It doesn't matter what your religious upbringing is or anything like that, because what it does is it sets the power of creation is always going on, and it sets it in motion in such a way that you attract to you what it is you desire. Now, you can use this technique for prosperity, health, healing. It could be used for anything, but In the book, we're talking about soulmates, so I have a spiritual mind treatment in there that's designed for soulmates.
Oh, okay.
But it can be used for anything if you have the technique. And I'd be happy to talk about that.
If people
are interested in knowing what the technique is. First, all you have to do is believe that there's a creative power in the universe. You know, that there is a creator, creative power. You could call that God. You could call that intelligence, mind, whatever fits right for you. And it has five easy steps. And the first step is recognition. And all you do is you recognize that there is a power in the universe for good. And that's all you have to do in that step. And in the second step, which is called unification, before I continue, let me say that this was developed by Dr. Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science. He designed these steps.
Okay.
The second step, unification, is where we align with that power. So we say something like, there is one creative intelligence, and it is at work through me. You see, because it's always working through us all the time. So whether it's up to us to use it to attract what we want in our life.
Mm-hmm.
So then we go to the next step, which is called realization. And here is where we state exactly what you want. You state that I know that there is a man or a woman, whatever the case, who is looking for somebody just like me. And then we list the qualities, like this person has a great sense of humor, loves movies, likes romantic dinners, whatever. But we don't tell the power who it is. We stay away from saying, oh, it's John Jones down the block, because we believe that it will attract to us who we need. So, and then the next step, we do gratitude. We give thanks even before we see it in form. And studies show that people who live grateful lives in gratitude, they're healthier, they're happier. So we express our gratitude before we see it in done. And then we release it and we say, I let this go into the law and I give thanks and so it is. And then everything goes to work in the law of attraction. Everything we draw to us, everything we need. Spirit knows where that person is and knows where you are. You don't even have to know where the person is.
Mm.
And I could even tell you the story of how I did it.
Yes, but before you do that,
okay,
let me just go back. The steps are the creative power, the unification, which is the alignment, and the gratitude, and then the release. Am I missing one?
The realization is step three.
Oh,
that could even be broken down into a series of affirmations. I'm sure most people listening know what affirmations are.
Oh,
and if they don't, they're statements of truth. So there's where you work in those affirmations, because we state it, you know, in the present tense as if it's done.
Okay. Good. Now yes. I've got all five down. Now yes. I want to hear your story.
The story is that I had given up on dating. I don't know if anybody else has ever given up on dating. But I did. And I was divorced and I was in my 30s. And I had a terrible marriage, very abusive. So then I went through a series of relationships. None of them worked out. And I just gave up. But deep down inside, I did want a relationship. I knew that. But I got a dog, and I stayed home. And my dog is now almost 16. She's sitting right here on the floor.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, she's been with me a long time. So then I learned about this technique. I started studying the work of Dr. Ernest Holmes, and I started studying religious science and later on became a minister. And I started using this spiritual mind treatment every night. I wasn't very trained in it, but I read a book, and it had the steps, and I did it. And all of a sudden, one night, I had this feeling, it is done. Just something said to my head. It was maybe 3 months or so. And it was like I got chills, and it was like, it is done. And right at that moment, I was not dating anybody. I had given up on men, remember? So meanwhile, this man, Jeff, had moved into the apartment next door right at that time. And that apartment was being used as a storage unit. And he said he felt a pull. And he said, clean out the storage unit. I'm moving in there. And that was my future husband. And we met, and the soulmate relationship went on. And you hear that theme over and over of a pull, somebody being drawn to it when spirit is working.
Mm-hmm.
One guy who took one of my soulmate workshops, he was moving into a home, and this woman, a neighbor, kept bringing him glasses of water. And she said she felt a pull. She was drawn to bringing him water, and a soulmate relationship happened. And I don't know, sometimes we feel that, and that's what's going on. So that's how come I started teaching workshops about this, and I saw so many people getting married and having good relationships that I decided to write a book so I could reach more. I can't physically reach that many people, so I thought that with the book I could reach more people and share with them, because I hear so much suffering, Julie. You know, that people come to me for prayer and counseling, and it's so much, the majority, they want a good relationship, or they're in a relationship that they want it to be better, that lost its passion,
right,
or whatever. So I really see how this teaching can, it doesn't have to be this way, and this teaching can help.
Interesting. Now, I've got a letter here that I wanted to, or an email that somebody sent me that I want to give you the question on it. But, you know, When you're first in love, you know, it's pretty fabulous, and you're overlooking a lot of things that maybe, you know, you won't later on down the road. How do you know? I mean, do you know right off the bat that it's the soulmate, or are you just hoping it is? And do soulmates stay for life? I mean,
they don't always stay for life. I say a diamond is forever, but not necessarily a soulmate relationship.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes soulmates come together for specific reasons. A lot of times they come together for healing deep-seated wounds, to learn and to grow, to reach higher states of consciousness, and sometimes soulmates could part. Besides in death, you know, there could be a divorce. Now, of course, with our spiritual techniques, the relationship we're talking about attracting is one that is a relationship for at least a lifetime. But sometimes soulmates do part. Maybe they have grown to a certain point, or their work together is done, and they could part. There was a second half to that question. I don't remember what it was. But then it's not, you know, not necessarily forever. And then you may part on this plane of experience and meet up again. Oh, I know what the other, you can meet up again in an afterlife if you do believe that, in the hereafter. The other part was, how do we recognize the soulmate?
Yeah, how do we recognize?
Do we know? You know, studies have been done. Michael Newton did a lot of work on this under hypnosis. He hypnotized people who actually went back to before they were born. And what they discovered was that they made an agreement then to recognize the person, you know, I'm going to recognize you. One man recognized the woman by her funny, infectious laugh.
Oh.
And so when they were here on Earth, she laughed, and all of a sudden he was drawn to her. That explains love at first sight, that there's a trigger. Usually when there's a soulmate relationship, it might not be the best-looking guy. It might not be the best-looking girl. And sometimes you see unlikely couples that are together, and there's a trigger that you recognize the person. So you usually know when it is.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, let me read you this email that I got. It says, Dear Barbara, I fell in love at first sight and managed to sustain a love that has endured more tests of time than Romeo and Juliet themselves. I still feel lovesick when he's not around. I really miss him a lot. And the love is still growing strong. Unfortunately, that is the problem. I began my spiritual path 7 years ago, and my partner did not. And therefore, we are approaching life choices and from completely different perspectives. My partner recently admitted that part of the problem is seeing me so happy and having nothing to do with it. I also feel like I've changed the rules on him after 15 years of a great relationship. Now, if the love were gone or not as strong, I would have departed long ago. Is there anything I can do to match up again with him?
Wow. I've heard this question, and what I would say is to let him be. He is on his own spiritual path, and it may not be the same spiritual path as you, but we're all going the same place spiritually. We're all evolving and growing in consciousness. And I would approach him with love, and I would do spiritual mind treatment for the highest good of the relationship, that there is unconditional love that continues to be there. And unfortunately, we can't make somebody come along with us on our path. There are many paths, the destination. Who said that? Somebody said that there are many paths, the destination is the same.
Uh-huh.
So we can't always make our partner go with us in the same direction. And I know that this is a challenge for lots of people. So if the love is still strong and still there, I would let him be on his path. And if he wants to come along to certain functions or meditations, fine. If he does not, that's okay.
That's okay. Just accept him the way he is right now.
Right. Love him unconditionally.
That you're different.
Yeah. Love him unconditionally. You know, that's unconditional love. He doesn't have to be. My husband does not, he's not into all this stuff. He's a corporate guy. He's not doing this stuff. And I get my spiritual food and nourishment from, you know, my own circles,
uh-huh.
But there's room for him.
So how do you, I mean, you still have commonality with him. I mean, you still like to do things. You like to go out to eat and everything, but you don't necessarily have to be in the same, you don't have to be identical.
You don't have to be. I would celebrate the differences. Mm. You know, it sounds like this couple is still very much in love. From what I'm hearing,
yeah.
I believe I'm hearing they're still very much in love. Now, if this letter was saying we're not in love and we're arguing all the time, then I might have a different answer. Then it might be time to split because somebody really has changed and the other person couldn't handle it. But what I'm hearing is that they're still very much in love.
Huh.
So, you know, I would say maybe their growth, you know, they come together for a purpose and it's finished now.
Okay.
But that's not what she's saying. I believe she's saying that there's still a wonderful relationship there. So is there a way for her to do her meditation and then come back to him and go to the movies? Or, you know, unless they should be able to be living in the world as well as being on the spiritual plane.
Yeah, and I got to say, too, I think that she really needs to be very appreciative of her stay. And I don't think she's complaining about it at all. But there are so many people that want to be at the level that she's at with that relationship. You know, count your blessings.
Yeah. And being more spiritual doesn't mean that we have to end those relationships. Yeah. Because, you know, we can love unconditionally. You know, I'm a mom, and I'm busy in my daughter's school, and I volunteer at school, and I play tennis, and yet I have this spirit. You know, it's a union of all this. You know, I'm always in the spiritual, but I'm still functioning in the regular roles.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's go on. What about to someone who has, you know, had serious wounds from a past relationship, and gosh, you know, those, it's so hard to get beyond those heartbreaks. What do you recommend, or how do they get past that? I mean, how do they attract? How do they get to the space where they're vibrationally matching their desire to attract what they need?
Well, the first, what I always recommend, first and foremost, is meditation, because that's the first thing that really, you know, that lets off a lot of this. But the second thing is forgiveness, and until we forgive, if we're harboring any kind of grudge or resentment against what someone has done to us, either intentionally or not intentionally, that will hold us back. That will be a big block. So as difficult as it may be to really give you a best shot at forgiveness, which doesn't mean we're saying that the person was right. We're not. I mean, somebody could have done something horrific. It could have been horrific, physical abuse, whatever. But to be able to forgive, because we're hurting ourselves when we carry that around, because we can't, if we're stuck in that old relationship in any way, we just certainly can't attract a new vibrant relationship.
Right.
So, you know, put away the pictures, practice forgiveness. You know, there have been scientific studies, finally, on forgiveness that show they did studies on men who were veterans, and they had coronary artery disease, and the ones who were trained in forgiveness had improved blood flow to the heart, and they were healthier. So now at least science is catching on to the power of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And forgive yourself. Maybe you're feeling guilty, oh, I wasn't good enough for the person, or I did this, if only I were that. So to also forgive yourself, that is the major, major step in letting go. We've all been hurt. We all have wounds.
Yeah, that's true. And I've also noticed that people can understand that they had to have that experience as a stepping stone to get to the great love of their life.
Right.
I mean, they need that. So whether they, I mean, with that hurt and with that pain, it was something that really is helping direct them. That out of that contrast is going to come something great.
That's true, and it's our greatest gift, our greatest teacher. We are forced to grow in consciousness. It's like, okay, I have to grow, and it hurts sometimes.
Mm.
So we use all the tools we have, our meditation, our spiritual mind treatment, which is also called positive prayer. We use all the tools we have to get to a place of centeredness in our own souls.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Now, in your book, you have this wonderful chapter on the many faces of love. What are the faces of love? What do you mean by all that?
Well, there is romantic love, which is the kind of love where, you know, you're just falling in love and you're so excited and happy, and that's when our bodies secrete PEA, which it's like eating chocolate. You know, we can't get enough of it. It's like an addictive drug. And that's the first stage. And then we move into a more relaxed stage, a more where the mask comes off and we really have the opportunity to love each other unconditionally. And this is where a lot of relationships fall apart, because some people love the high of experiencing the PEA rush. So they can't commit, because then they, oh, that's gone now. We're getting into a cozy feeling, so now I have to go get more of that rush. And then there's the universal love, the divine love, which is the love of, you know, the best love going is love of the divine for us, through us, as us. And that is really the one love. And when we're loving people here on earth, it's just God loving by means of us.
Huh. Very interesting. Very interesting. You know, it's. Can you talk a little bit about the unconditional love? That's a hard one to grasp.
It certainly is. It's hard for everybody. And unconditional love really means giving love without expecting anything in return or without asking for anything in return. Now, that doesn't mean that we stay and we take physical abuse. It doesn't mean anything like that. But it means when your husband comes home and he's really grouchy, and it means instead of you getting grouchy, too, you give him love. You do a loving act. I've had a lot of experience in this one. You know, you give love even when it's hard because the person's maybe being a real angry bear. And then you're like, well, what can I do for you to make you feel better? Is there some way I can help? You know, you give love even when they're not on their best behavior. Uh-huh. So the most unconditional love is mother and child.
Uh-huh.
When you think of that, you're always giving to your child, and your child could behave badly one day, and you're still loving. Let's bring that into our romantic relationships.
Okay, well, then let's go on to another question there. And I have to, I'm taking their email and kind of changing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it can make a little bit more sense. She's having a romance or a relationship with her husband who happens to be a drug addict who is actively doing drugs. And she is in turn addicted to him. And this is not a healthy situation, and they have 5 kids. In which the kids are very much in the middle of all of this. What do you say to someone who is in that particular area with drug? It's an addiction, because you mentioned that PEA.
Mm-hmm.
Does this tie in? And what kind of advice would you give to this woman?
Well, what I would do is I would suggest that this woman get spiritual mind treatment, which is the positive prayer that we talked about.
Uh-huh.
And to do that, you have to go to a religious science church, which I don't know where she lives, if she says, but there would be one in her area. She could look in the phone book. Uh-huh. And or a Unity church could also give affirmative prayer. That would be the very first thing that I would want her to do. And I would suggest that she get professional help from a licensed therapist, but I would also treat that with the spiritual side. And she could come to my website and contact me if she would like me to do some spiritual mind treatment for her. I would be willing to do that.
Okay. Now, as far as the law of attraction, how do we react to somebody who's going through the throes of an addiction?
Right, because you feel, well, they've attracted it, so how do we come to terms with that?
Right, how do we think about him? Because if we think about that person, won't we be bringing that into our lives?
Yes, and that person, you know, although that person has brought that into his own life, you know, there could be a reason. I have seen people who are drug addicts go on to live wonderful spiritual lives. So what that person's path is and what that person's karma is, I don't know. But the person who is, so we just look at that person, you know, with love, but there might be steps she needs to take, or she's got children and she might need to get out of that situation. So we have to take care of ourselves first. And even though that person has attracted that, we don't know what reasons why that person's going through that, what spiritual soul growth that person is needing. So we need to just take it from the spiritual perspective, and the wife to get her spiritual self in order, meditate, get prayer treatment, and do everything she can to take care of herself. Because if she has an addiction to him and she's attracted that into her life, maybe it's time to make a new decision.
Yes.
And if she gets some spiritual tools under her belt, she'll be able to change and grow and see clearly. And I would tell her to affirm, God knows what my next step is and shows me the way. I think that's an affirmation. God knows what my next step is and shows me the way. And she could say that several times during the day.
Mm, good one.
And the way will be made clear for her, but she needs to get that spiritual. I still think that she needs professional therapy as well as the spiritual end. It could work hand in hand, but to get herself to a New Thought Church.
Very good. Good suggestion. I know with the law of attraction, too, when people are in their own journeys of addiction, there are many teachings that say, you know, we need to look at that person not in with eyes of despair, but with eyes of appreciation and love, and understand that they're on this journey for a reason.
Right.
Something good will most likely come out of it, so not to turn around and hate, but to appreciate.
Right, I agree.
It's hard to do.
yeah, because we don't know what that person's path is or why that person's going through that soul growth at that time. But we have to make sure that that lady and her kids are safe, too.
Boy, no kidding.
You know, we have to be practical as well as spiritual.
Good point. Very good. Well, very interesting. So on the... I noticed in your book you have like these little charts and everything that you can do. You can, I'm looking at it right now. There it is. The keeping watch on my thoughts. I thought this was really interesting in the mastering the mechanics of the mind. This is really a great worksheet that says, I've thought of this or said this sometimes, and then you have check marks of sometime, often, or never, and there's things that you say to yourself. And what a great way that you can really figure out what's going on in your mind.
Right. That worksheet, so many times people say, like women will say, oh, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I have a wrinkle. And men will say, women just want money. And the way we talk to ourselves, so critical, so abusive to ourselves. So we check off and see, how are we talking to ourselves, to the tapes that we play in our mind. And if we find ourselves saying, I'm not talented enough, I'm not witty enough, no one's ever going to come, I don't meet anyone at work, blah, 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 you know, then we stop that immediately and we put an affirmation, a life-supporting affirmation in its place. And then you could see where your thoughts are by filling out that worksheet. You could see what the tendency, because the tendency of your thought is what you're going to see out picture in the world. Because what we're thinking about and where we're focusing our thoughts, that is what is going to be our situation. Exactly. The law works that way. You know, there's a creative process. So we have a thought in mind, and then everything goes to work. This is Troward's work. Everything goes to work to bring about this in reality. That's the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be very careful about what we think and what we tell ourselves.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. And that really works, especially in an existing relationship too, where you really have to watch your mind on what you're thinking about the other person.
Right. You know, we have to learn not to judge the other person. You know, we have to learn, like, if your husband or your boyfriend is sitting around watching TV and he's not paying attention to you, we can't start judging them. We just need to say maybe, oh, you know, I'm feeling lonely right now. Can we get together in an hour when the show is over? Instead of jumping to conclusions like, oh, he doesn't want to be with me or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, in the meditation, and I haven't experienced yours yet, but I plan to. In the meditation, do you have the people feel the love that they feel for the mate? Either an existing or the one that's coming?
In the spiritual mind treatment,
uh-huh.
It's good to visualize it and feel it. And as we visualize it, I think that works hand in hand. As you visualize it, you begin to feel it. And as you meditate, you feel it. And to see yourself, not with any one particular person, but to see yourself happy and loving and nurturing of another person.
Very good.
Yeah, because I use that also in helping people who are having existing relationship problems, and I will just take them into hypnosis and let them feel the feelings that they felt back when they first met them, and bring all those back, and it like kind of rejuvenates them, you know. It brings back the strong memories of why they fell in love the first time.
Right, and I have an exercise in the book where I talk about remember the first, remember a loving relationship, a loving exchange you had sometime in your past. And that's just like what you're talking about, because once you recall that, you start to feel it again and experience it again. And then we understand that no matter what's happened between being a child and now, we are able to love, because we go back and re-experience it.
Definitely. Well, tell us some of your greatest love stories that you have in the book.
One of the greatest love stories is Ronald and Nancy Reagan.
Ooh.
That was a great love story.
Boy, was
Yeah, yeah, that was a soulmate story. But, you know, another one that's really touches my heart is Elizabeth Barrett Browning and Robert Browning. And for anyone who thinks that they can't attract someone because maybe they're not the best-looking person or whatever, Elizabeth Barrett was homely, sickly. She was just a mess. And she was exchanging letters with Robert Browning. And he was a dashing bachelor. And the time came that they were going to meet, and she was just absolutely afraid to meet him, because he's like, she's like, when he sees me, forget it, he's going to run. And he met her, and they went on to have this such a soulmate relationship, and she wrote that sonnet, How Do I Love Thee, Let Me Count the Ways, because it was a soul connection. It didn't matter what she looked like. It had nothing to do with the exterior. That's my favorite story.
Yeah, that is wonderful. Gives hope to a lot of people, too. That's just wonderful.
And, you know, what's really to give hope to people, especially to give hope to the women, there are so many men who come to my workshops and come to me for prayer treatment, and they are looking for a good relationship. There are good men out there. All kinds of men come, and they're looking for the same thing. So I just don't believe the myth that there are no good men out there. And trust me, I've had lots of relationships that were not good, but I don't believe that myth. And the more we could not believe it and believe that there are good, wonderful, loving people out there, the more we will attract what we believe.
That's a very, very good point. But I think that's one of the things that we hear from the TV and the TV shows, and we're seeing relationships with between beautiful people.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get into the mind frame that, hey, I'm okay the way I am, and gosh darn, anybody would be lucky to have my love?
Turn off the TV. Really?
Yeah, good idea. But I guess it's better than the bar scene, huh?
Than the what?
Than the bar scene.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that as we become more spiritually mature, we naturally feel who we are, and then that we don't have that influence from the media as much.
Hmm.
Yeah, you know, we naturally feel our divine essence flowing through us to others, to everyone we meet. And, you know, the law of attraction is working all the time. It's the creative process that, you know, that what we think and believe and focus on, we attract to us. So if it's working all the time, why not use it consciously and let it create for us in the way we want it to create?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can use it. It's like gravity or electricity. All you have to do is turn it on and use it.
Very good. Yeah, I agree. Very good. Well, what about when you... Now, what are the steps that we need to take to attract? I mean, like when we're in meditation, we just look for a person. We reaffirm and just...
Well, we visualize. I have one exercise in the book where we visualize the person. We even draw it out, draw you and your soulmate having fun together.
Oh.
And what I would like to also stress and bring to the table is that we need to do in our spiritual mind treatment, if we're going to use that tool, which is by far one of the most powerful tools, how we need to state how we are nurturing, not just what we get from the other person. Mm-hmm. We must put in there, I nurture this person, I nourish this person, I give love, you know, to recognize our part in the giving of love and not just receiving, because it's in the giving that we receive.
Very good. That's a very, very good point. What else can we do to attract this person into our lives? I guess it would be, like you say, creating and believing in ourselves, mm-hmm. and then matching that to attract a person. And would you recommend doing like a vision board, then putting the things that we want to do with mate?
Yes, that's always a good thing to do.
If we want him to look like Brad Pitt, or or maybe if we want him to have the characteristics of even Brad Pitt.
Oh, I don't know if anybody really would want. Would he left Jennifer Aniston? I don't know about Brad Pitt, about using him. But what we want, I'm glad you brought this up, because that brings us to a term called outlining. We don't want to outline to the creative power too much. And what I mean by outlining is saying like, oh, he's blonde-haired and blue-eyed, or, you know, we want to leave that up to spirit, because spirit knows where he or she is, knows where we are, and we'll unite the two. So we just want to stay focused on the qualities, like you said, the characteristics, such as fun-loving, financially secure, not a mama's boy, or no ties, or good sense. You want to stay focused on the qualities and not worry about the package. Mm. One minister I know who, she got divorced, and she was doing a prayer treatment to be in a loving relationship, because I guess her relationship was not doing well, and she ended up divorced and with a guy that she never imagined. You know, he was of short stature, and his looks shorter than her. His looks was nothing like what she would imagine, and they're both ministers. They have a thriving church. They're happy. So we don't want to tell God, because we limit God when we actually tell what it has to be to that degree.
Oh, yeah.
So we want to stay focused on the qualities. You know, in my prayer treatment, I think I said somebody who loved animals and hiking and good communicator, sensitive, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you state what you bring to the table.
Great.
Because we want to stay focused on that, too.
Right. Don't get too distinctive or descriptive, but really concentrate on the qualities.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Very good.
Because he might show up, you might love tall, dark guys, and he might show up blonde, you know.
Well,
and that might be the right person for you.
If we made the deal, you know, prior to birth, would we not know within? I mean, because I tend to believe that, you know, we all have the God within. So would we not know automatically?
We would know
what we're looking for, because you know, I just think we have all of the answers within anyway. If we see somebody at love at first sight, which it did happen to me many years ago, if you see the guy and you know, then it's really, it's already within.
Right.
The answers are all there. It's going to hit you. And so maybe by bringing up a little bit more of the color of hair, maybe that's just helping you to remember exactly that when this guy comes in, it's like, oh, yeah, I've been waiting for you. What's taking you so long? You know, I did have what I considered to be my soulmate. Unfortunately, he died, you know, about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just such an intense love that we could literally see each other's eyes from across the room.
Mm.
You just locked in, and it was like, pow, wow. And it wasn't the easiest of relationships, but it was something that I remember every single day of my life.
And you know, you're right. Sometimes it's not the easiest relationship because we're being given the opportunity to grow and to heal. And so sometimes there are issues.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was issues. But my goodness, what a thrill of my life. It was just, really, nothing else can compare to it. I think of him every day. It was just a wonderful experience. And so once, for those who haven't found their soulmates, you know, it's coming. Because once you've experienced it, it's just the most magnificent feeling that you've ever had. And you're saying, also I noticed in your book, that you can have more than one.
Yes, like the situation you just said when the person has passed, there could be another one. You know, the theory is that before we were born and before we were actually souls, there were clusters of cells together, and those cells went on to become souls, and the ones in your cluster are your soulmates. So there could be somebody else who's also a soulmate. And maybe you did get a divorce, or maybe the person did pass on. No, that doesn't mean that you're destined to a life of being alone.
Mm.
It's your choice.
Yeah, well.
So you were telling me before the show that you're very happy.
Oh, yeah.
And that's fine. You know, that's a great choice because that's what we have, the power to choose. But somebody else maybe, you know, shouldn't get disheartened because you could still find another soulmate.
Oh, yeah, right. You know, but, and I've got to admit, I'm at the place in my life where I'm very, very content and very happy being by myself. It just feels absolutely wonderful. But then, who knows, if I walk down the street and I see somebody, you know, the way I am, I'll change in a second. You never know, and it's like, you're right, I can't say, no, it's never going to happen. I'm to the point where it's something that if it never happens, I'm totally, completely happy about where I am right now. So,
yeah. Which is really the divine love is the one lover.
Yeah.
True. And I know you have that.
Yeah, that feels pretty fabulous.
Yeah,
and putting all that love out to the universe through the meditations, oh my goodness, that's the best kind of love in the world.
It is.
It's very, very powerful. Wow, well, very good. And you have a child with your husband?
I do. We have a 10-year-old daughter, and I had her when I shouldn't give my age, but it was later on in life, and the doctor said it wasn't possible. So all things are possible, and I had to have a healthy, wonderful daughter.
Great. And what do you tell your daughter? The same thing.
What do I tell her about what?
About, I mean, what do you tell your daughter about trying to, how old is your daughter?
10.
Well, okay, so I'm sure she's right now starting to get a little interested in the opposite sex.
They're still friends. They still roughhouse and play, and they're still just friends.
Mm.
Nothing yet. But I teach her all this spiritual principles, and she meditates. And
oh, wonderful. Yeah. So she'll be quite advanced when she gets to be at the dating age.
I hope so.
How do you react to your child then? Will you be strict, or will you be, how do you plan to deal with that?
Well, I trust her, and I give her autonomy even now, and definitely do a lot of prayer before she heads out of the house.
Oh, that's a good
on a date. Yeah, when the time comes. Yeah, I trust she'll make good decisions because she has a great foundation. She's grown up with all this stuff.
Wonderful.
Imagine growing up with it from when you were little. I don't know if you did, but I didn't.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah, I mean, what would life be if we had it from the start, all these principles?
Oh, definitely. And do you let her know about the law of attraction?
Oh, yes. Like if she'll say, oh, Mom, I'm so ugly. And I'll say, oh, remember the law. And I'll explain it to her.
Good yeah. for you. Oh, you know, and I always wondered what would happen if I knew about the law of attraction, you know, at an early age like your daughter.
And
boy.
You know, yeah, I mean, there's a good thing, too. There's a saying in religious science that principle is not bound by precedent, which means that we're always creating new. So whatever happened before, that we're not held to it, we're not bound by our mistakes, that right now, today, we create new, and it doesn't matter what happened before. So even if we're 8 or we're 80, we get the opportunity to create new every single day.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it.
Mm.
Very good. Very good. Well, it's been a real pleasure having you on. Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. And I want to tell everybody that if you would like to buy her fabulous book, it really is great, and it's very simple to read, and it's really straightforward and gives you a lot of insight. Her book is titled How to Attract Your Soulmate, The Secrets of Lasting Love. You can pick it up from her website, which is, you want to say it for us?
BarbaraGulbranson.com. That's BarbaraGulbranson.com.
Great. And I also have that on my show notes, so you can contact her and get that all of her information, plus her phone number. And you can call and order her book. And you have a couple of other books, don't you?
I have one that's going to come out probably in the winter or spring called Restless Slumber, about awakening the divine within and finding joy and purpose in life.
Oh, wonderful.
But Jules, do you mind if I just throw out an 800 number to order the book?
Sure.
1-800-843-5743, 843-5743, and it's also on Amazon.com.
Okay, good, good.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you so much, and your book is due out when, your new one?
It'll probably be late winter or early spring.
Oh, great, and who's the publisher on that?
Well, I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure yet. I'm deciding.
All righty. So good. Well, keep us posted so we can let everybody know.
I will.
Great. And thank you again. It really has been wonderful. And to all of those who have joined us tonight, we'll see you next week. And let next week just be full of abundance and prosperity and a whole bunch of love, and find your true soulmate. See you all next week.
You have been listening to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio, hosted by Jules Johnson. For more information, go to www.lawofattractiontools.com.